Ecclesiastes chapter 11, only two chapters to go, including this one. Remember, Ecclesiastes is written by... What's his... What does he call himself?
Teacher or Koheleth.
You're good. God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would teach us, and we want to hear from you and talk to you and know what your word says, that we might not sin against you, might hide in our hearts, might live for you and trust you. We pray that you would even give us a sweet word tonight that we could learn to obey and trust and follow and cling to. Love you, God. Thank you for your word. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. He says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. I think of two things in my mind, always goes weird places. But, you know, a name for money is bread, right? Got to get your bread. I don't know if that's still the slang they use. I'm sure it's changed, but it used to be. And I don't know if you've ever thrown something in the ocean, but a lot of times it comes back. If you don't get it out far enough, it'll just come back to shore. It's got to get out past a certain point. I'm no ocean expert, so I don't know what that point is, but there's a point when the currents ebb and flow, and a lot of times you put a message in a bottle and want it to get to Africa, but it would only just go down the beach a little bit because it wouldn't get out there past that. But he goes on and says in the next part, to kind of put it into context, give a portion to seven or even eight, for you do not know what calamity may happen on the earth. And this is, in a sense, investment advice. It doesn't have to be with money. It could be with time. It could be with pursuits. It could be with hobbies or businesses. But the idea is you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, as it said. Why? Well, you know, we have chickens and we have eggs. And thankfully, you guys go get the eggs. But if you had them all in one basket and you fell, what would happen? Potentially, all the eggs would break and then you'd be out of eggs and have no eggs for that day or the next couple of days. But if you did two trips or had two baskets, you might be able to save one. And the idea is that when you're investing something, you need to be wise about it. You need to spread it out. I have multiple bank accounts, not that they make interest, but it makes it easy to budget or easy to move money around or easy to, if one credit card breaks or gets lost, I have another one that I could use, right? Or one debit card. I don't use my credit card for credit so much, but the idea that you've got multiple ways in and out, you know. Just like with a house, you've got a front entrance and a back entrance. You've got emergency exits. The plane has multiple emergency exits. You need multiple ways to be successful. When it comes to the second part, give a portion of seven or even eight. You don't even know what calamity may happen on the earth. You know, seven in the Bible can be a number of completion. Eight is a number of new beginnings. You could look at it as that you want to make a complete investment, an investment that's the idea for new growth. But also, I think more than that, it's really, we don't know what's going to happen. World War III could start tomorrow. Could be a forest fire. All the crops may not come in if you're a farmer, right? That when you invest somewhere, sometimes a stock will tank and the other one won't tank. So if you had all your money in one bad stock, you would have lost all your money. But you want to spread that out because the ones that perform better will make up for the losses that you have somewhere else. So, if you're, I'm not a financial advisor. I barely know what I'm doing, but the idea that you don't want to put it all in one place because not only is it safer, if something goes wrong or something gets stolen or broken, but also you don't know what's going to do well or not. You know, maybe wheat will grow better this year. Maybe oranges will be better this year. So you're more protected that way because no one can tell the future. And every stock market person would love to be able to tell the future because then they could make money. And that's kind of how you know they have insider deals is because there's weird things about September 11th, about stocks, the airline stocks that sold the day before. Weird things about certain people in the government who sell stocks or buy certain stocks and then they pass a law the next day. There's no way to know what's going to happen. you know, if I knew it was going to happen, like I said recently, I probably should have brought Bitcoin about 10, 15 years ago. But no one knew. No one knew. Verse 3. So that's what the Bible says. Be wise and spread it out. Whatever that is, your time, your effort, your dreams, your goals, your relationships. You don't put it all in one basket. Verse 3. If clouds are full of rain, they empty out on the land. And if a tree falls to north or south, in the place that the tree falls, there it will be. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. You know, it's the first two seem kind of obvious, right? If a cloud is full of rain, where does the rain go? It falls on the land, unless, of course, it's over the water, right? And the Bible talks about don't be like a cloud that looks like it's going to rain and doesn't rain. It's not a relief. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. But if a tree falls to the north or south, in the place that the tree falls, there will be that. Where the tree falls, it's not going to go anywhere else. If a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear, does it make a sound? Yes, it makes a sound. You just weren't there to hear it. But this idea that in the next one, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. That we can come up with an excuse for everything. That clouds should rain, wind might knock over the tree. It might rain, it might not rain, the tree might stay, the tree might fall. But if you're so worried and you start making excuses, you're never going to get anywhere in life. You're like, it might be cloudy today, so I'm not going to go out into town. It might be windy later, so I'm not going to go do this that I need to do, right? That we need to just not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is enough to worry about, that we need to do what we know to do. Because again, you don't know, right? Sometimes in the morning it looks like it's going to snow and then the snow passes. Sometimes it looks like it's going to be sunny and then the clouds roll in, right? We need to take, basically, again, with the first one, take advantage of every opportunity that we have and not allow other things to come in and blow that, not allow our excuses or our perception to ruin a good opportunity. Lord, forgive us where we fail at opportunity. Verse 5, as you do not know the way of the wind or how bones grow in the womb of her with child, likewise you do not know the work of God who has made everything, right? Even now, how long can they tell the weather? Weather is based on wind. We have a warm weather now, and the East Coast and South is having a real cold winter. Why? Because of wind. It's called high altitude wind. It's called the jet stream. There's really fast moving winds that swirl around in the upper atmosphere, and they change based on where we are with the sun and how the sun's heating the planet and how the poles are cooling, and it changes our weather and they shift. And I think we're in a La Nina year. There's different weather patterns, right? And it's all based on the wind. And even then, we can't decide. Our weather reports are only so accurate after a few days because it's so complicated. Even with our satellites, even with our science, even with our math, we can only guess. And I think that's another reason why it's a joke to say global warming is real, because we don't know. We don't know what the trends are. You know, we've had, some places have had the coldest winter this year, right? That's a whole nother message. But we still don't know. And they certainly didn't know back then. The Bible says, too, about wind, that just says you don't know where the wind is coming from or where it's going, so you should be the person who's led by the Spirit. Sometimes God is going to change your course and bring you someplace you never thought you'd go. You thought you were going one way, and God goes, and all of a sudden you're going a different way. Like, who would have known that Sierra would have just come walking in the door right now? Like a little wind. And even then, even now, how the bones grow in the womb of her with child, right? No one knew what was going on in there back in the day. Now we have ultrasound. Now we've done studies and science and know the different stages of growth. But they didn't, you know, necessarily know the stages of growth to the extent that we do. But even then, it's still amazing. We can't recreate it. Even a baby in a test tube, we can't. We can't do what God does in the mom's belly. So even though we've observed it, we have no idea how it actually works. It's amazing. And so he says, likewise, just like that, you do not know the work of God who has made everything. You don't know why God's allowing a you don't know why God's allowing a certain circumstance in your life. You don't know why God's allowing the winds of change to blow on the world. You don't know why God's allowing blessing in your life or God's allowing cursing in your life. And Job says, I'm going to thank God for both, right? We don't understand. God has a bigger purpose at work that we don't understand. You know, why is it hot here and cold? We don't know what's going on in the Arctic. We don't know what's going on in the jet stream, but God knows, and God knows exactly why these things are happening. We don't know why the sun is more active right now than it's been before. Well, I know the Bible says what's coming. The end times are coming. We're not there, but the universe is going to fall apart. Worried about global warming. We should worry about universe warming because it's going to end in a giant fireball. But the point is that God has done everything, and even if we could know, we don't know why things happen the way they do sometimes. We don't know why, and more than that, we don't have control over it. So just like with the investments, when you don't have the control over it, you need to trust God. Whether you make an investment and spread it out, whether you see a good day or a bad day, an opportunity, no opportunity, you trust God and have him be the one who drives you forward. When God says go and it doesn't look like it's a good time to go, you still go because God told you to go. And sometimes you need to throw your net over the other side of the boat, so to speak, to find God's provision for you. In verse six, it's a little dim in here. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not let your hand rest because you do not know which activity will find success. This way or that way or both will be good. Sometimes we think if we just put all our effort into one thing, that's all we need to do. But it's not the case. You know, I play this game, Access and Allies. Learned it from my friend Tony back in the day. I played with my friends on the East Coast. Now I've taught my kids how to play. It's a World War II simulation game. And recently I was Russia, America, and Britain, and the other guys were Germany and Japan. But I bring that up to say that in my strategy, I have to think about a lot of different things and try to attack here and defend here. And I don't know which way is going to work the best, but I have to try them both. If I just did one thing and let the other one go, I would fail. But I've got a better chance of success in trying in both ways and seeing which one will do. I don't know what's going to happen. It may be that, you know, you need to start your own business. It may be that you start two businesses. It may be that you go to school and work. It may be two things or three things or four things that you try. And not to make excuse that if you've got the time and the ability, you need to use all your time and ability to try different ways and leave the rest to God. But with that, you don't know which is going to work and which isn't going to work. And maybe, just maybe, God will use them both to bless you. Maybe he'll use your side hustle. Maybe it'll never be your full-time job, but it'll be a side hustle that brings in extra money, that gives you some joy. Even though your day job stinks, your side hustle gives you a little bit of joy in labor. Maybe you'll go to school and never use the degree, but you went to school and that prepared you for something else, or you met, you know, your spouse there or something. I don't know. But the point is, we get very narrow-minded in our ways, and we need to slow down and step back and consider that we don't know everything. We don't control anything, but God does. And we need to be open to whatever opportunity that God puts before us. Pastor Chuck used to say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. That we need to be flexible to think outside the box, think bigger than we do about some things. And that's what God's word says here, whether that's investments, whether that's time, whether that's work, education, whatever it is, we need to consider that maybe there's a better way that we haven't thought of, and not to get myopic and nearsighted in it. Let's go on, verse 7. Light is sweet and good for the eyes to see, and it's good for the eyes to see the sun. You know, again, it's good to get outside. You know, they say touch grass. I was outside today and I was like, oh, it was cold, but, you know, it could have been a lot colder. It was real nice. You know, 35 degrees is pretty well close to summer for January. But it was sweet to be outside, have the sun, the warmth of the sun on your face. It's good to see it, to look upside. You know, that's one thing they use in prison is they cut out sunlight. They cut out outdoor time, especially in the old, what was that movie, Les Mis, right? Where Counting Monte Cristo? Another one where they blocked the, maybe it was Man in an Iron Mask. Anyway, point being is that they were in this old stone prison and you could only see outside through, if you stood up in this one little thing and looked and just to see the sky just a little bit, And it's good to see you. We were meant to see you. I thought the other day, too. I was coming in the house. You know, it's good to be in the house. I'm glad to have a house. I'm glad to have warmth and shelter and a bed and stuff and out of the dirt and elements. But we were made to be outside. It's like animals. How could you leave your dog outside or the chickens outside? They're animals. That's where they're designed to be. You know, they have a chicken coop and warmth, and a horse has a shelter or a blanket, maybe if they're cold. You're right over there? But sincerely, we're meant to be outside. Go outside. You're not meant to be inside all the time. And your body needs the sunlight to make vitamin D. Your skin makes vitamin D. It's why people get depressed in the winter, because we're not getting enough sunlight. So we need to do that. Verse 8, for if a man lives many years, may he rejoice in all of them. You know, every year you get, whether you're 60, 45, 85, rejoice in being young, rejoice in being old. A lot of times we just complain, oh, I'm getting old, I wish I was young again. We were talking about that on Sunday. We need to rejoice in every year that we have, because it's a gift. And we don't know. Maybe this year will be better than last year, despite being older. But let him also remember that the days of darkness are many, and everything that comes is vanity. That even if you got a great day, don't worry, bad days are coming. There will always be another bad day. You can almost count on a bad day more than you can on a good day. But whatever that day is, rejoice. And remember that everything that comes is vanity, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's a blessing or whether it's a loss, whether it's gain or whether it's less. It's vanity. Under the sun, it's vanity. Without God, it's vanity. Like we talked about on Sunday, we are not meant to do this life without God. The Christian goes through trial, but the unbeliever goes through trial. So which would you rather be, the person going through a trial with God or without Him? And I think that's why the world turns to drugs. The world turns to alcohol. The world turns to relationships. The world turns to virtual reality. The world turns to whatever it is, because they don't have a real place to turn to. They don't have a real hope. They don't have someone to carry them through it. But we do. And I don't know about you, but if I got to go through trials, I'd rather go through it with my Heavenly Father. Because when He lets me go through it, they're Father filtered. And He's never going to give me more than I can handle with Him. And there will always be an end to it. And the end will always be better. When you go through a trial in the world and you go through it in your own strength, usually doesn't get better. You get harder. Something goes away that was not meant to go away. But when you do things God's way, there's always a blessing at the end of that trial. That storm always brings a sweetness at the end. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Again, young people, they say youth is wasted on the young. I look back, I'm like, wow, that was quick. That wasn't that long ago. I still feel young, and I go, wow, I'm 45 now. It was 20 years ago. I was 25, and 20 years I'll be, 65. 20 more years, Lord willing, I'll be 85. I'm more than halfway through. So let me rejoice while I'm still young. In your early years, may your heart do you good. You know, don't waste your time. And I was talking with you, Mia, the other day. It's like, I wish I knew certain things at a young age. I wish I was encouraged to follow those dreams. You've got time, and don't waste it. Don't be so worried about college. Spend the time now to do well in school. That way you have more choice when you get to college or college age. Where if you want to go to school, you'll have scholarships. If you don't want to school, you'll have learned a lot along the way anyway. Wherever God is bringing you, let your heart do you good, right? That even then there's paths, right? When you're young, you've got all these options. Be a firefighter. I'm just speaking from experience. Firefighter, NASA astronaut, fighter pilot, computer scientist, movie star, rock climber, hockey player, basketball, whatever it is, artist. And you have all these choices laid before you. And when you're young, you might still be able to jump across some of those choices. Granted, you have the skills, right? Or those opportunities come, or you're giving you're well-rounded. You're going to school and learning how to do good at math, but you're also playing a lot of hockey, right? You're giving yourself choices. But as you get older, those choices begin to go away. Now that my body's in such a place, I don't, even if I tried really hard, I might be able to do it if I like pursued it completely and got a trainer and all these things to climb Mount Everest. But I don't think my knees or back would ever barely let me climb Mount Helena, let alone Mount Everest. But if I was a kid, I would still have that opportunity before me. And we have all these paths laid out. You make decisions that are permanent. You know, being a computer person, I like to undo Control Z. I wish I could just Control Z and undo it, but you can't. You've made a decision. You've made a permanent decision. You've moved. You've got an education. You've got married. You've done this with your life or you haven't done without your life. You've wasted this or you haven't wasted this. You've got this money saved up or you didn't save your money. And like me, being 45, there's only so many days left in my life. I mean, none of us really know, but the point being I'm saying is you've got so much laid out before you as a young person. Don't squander those opportunities. Don't waste those opportunities. Don't get so close to realize, well, I don't have this. You still got a chance. Don't make the dumb decisions that unfortunately, kids make foolish decisions that affect the rest of their lives. And I think part of it is because they're not rejoicing in being young. Oh, I wish I was 14. I wish I was 15. I wish I was 21. I wish I was moved out. I wish I lived in another town. And so you begin to make decisions to try and make yourself happy, but those decisions don't make you happy and you find yourself ruining your life. Ask me how I know. Well, the Bible also tells you so that you don't find out the hard way. The Bible wants you to know the easy way, and the way you start out is by rejoicing now. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth and in your early years. May your heart do you good. Walk in the path of your heart and the desire of your eyes. This doesn't mean follow your heart. That's the worldly decision to follow your heart. We know that the heart is wicked and deceitful. But if you're following God, he gives you the desires of your heart, the Bible says, Psalm says. Right? That if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. If you're delighting in him in youth, he's going to lay down a perfect path before you to where if you follow him and you obey him, you will have no regrets. You know the regrets that I have? It's when I did not follow him. And I'm not even talking about before Jesus. I'm talking about after Jesus. When I wanted to have it my own way. When I wanted to push ahead. When I wanted to do my own thing. Those are my regrets. If I just waited. Why? Because I had everything before me, but I didn't wait on the Lord. So trust him and know that you will not have any regret following God. The only regrets in life you will have are not following God. You lose that job, you lose that relationship because you didn't follow God, that place to live, that blessing, that inheritance, well, that's a regret. But if you have those same things go by the wayside, but you follow Jesus through it, you will not have the regret. Like Paul says, those things are rubbish to me to know Jesus better. So while we have time, rejoice in them. He says, glory in tribulations, right? That we saw in Romans, that we need to glory now in God and be thankful for even the hard times, the things we don't understand, because then the answer doesn't matter so much. And that's the thing. It's all vanity except for him. It's all meant to bring us to him. But he says, know that in all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So be careful. You want to go skydiving? You want to go out with your friends? You want to go have fun? That's great, but remember that you'll be judged for it. God will judge you for it, whether in consequence later in life or now or eternally. So be careful. Don't just do everything you want. Do it mindful that, hey, I need to do the right thing. But from there, of course God wants you to have fun. God doesn't want you to not have fun. But what kind of fun are you having? Is it good fun? Is it holy fun? Or is it not? Go to the amusement park. Go on the ride. Go see a decent movie. Go out to dinner with your friends. Play games. Have fun. But be careful. Don't get carried away. Because just like on the beach, you get carried away a little bit and you get carried away more. And by the time you know it, you're all the way down the beach and you're kind of lost in the water. And God doesn't want that for you. He can restore those years that you've lost or wasted, but better to not waste them. It's better to not lose them. Verse 10 is we're going to come here to close on a shorter message tonight. Take away anger from your heart. Well, that's a tough one. It doesn't say that you're not going to get angry. He says take it away from your heart. Take it away. It's tough. Why? Because you hang on to anger and it turns into the microphone. You hang on to anger, it turns into bitterness. You don't deal with it. And the Bible says, pour out your complaint before the Lord. You know what I was doing the other day? I was pouring out my complaint before the Lord. God, you said this, and this isn't happening, and you said that. You're the only one who can do this. You've got to do this. And I felt better afterwards. I'm not angry. God, I wasn't angry at God, but I'm like, God, like, I'm hurt, and I'm angry, and I'm upset, and I need to give it to you. But you're angry about something, even if it's a righteous anger. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. That's hard. It doesn't say don't be angry. It says be angry and do not sin. That's the hard part. It's not sinning when we're angry. But take it away from our heart. Why? Because it destroys our heart. You see, people have gone through life angry, stressed out, higher blood pressure, heart attacks, heart disease. Not that it's the only cause. But this kind of stress on your life changes your appearance, changes your physicality, changes. You can see someone who's happy and see someone who's not. You can see someone who's stressed. The worst part is you begin to miss out on life when you're all stressed. You begin to miss out on relationships, miss out on fun. Oh, I'm too stressed. I can't do that. Well, why don't you go ride your bike with your friends and worry about it later? I bet you'll feel better. We tend to get, we let it consume us. Remove distress from your body, right? We got to remove it from ourselves. Sometimes you just need to get out and go for a walk. Go see that sunlight. Remember that it's just another day under the sun. Remember that God made it all. But sometimes we don't see that when we're on our thing. We've got to get stress out. Do things that remove your stress. Relax. Go see a movie. Have fun. Do what you need to do, too. You know, I was applying for more jobs this morning because I'm stressed about not having a job. So I was applying for more. There's only so much you can do. Then go spend time with people that you care about. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters. The people that you care about. The people that God has given you. He says, for youth and the dawn are vanity. That's interesting. You know, youth is vanity, right? You think as a kid you know it all. Think is that being young is where it's all at. You have the most fun being young. I can remember a couple good times being young. And this is the weird thing, too, as we close here. I've seen the thing that's been said. You never know that it was the last time that you're going to do that. Like the last game day I had with my friend, Pastor Tony, I didn't know it was the last time I was going to have a game day with him. The last time, you know, I played flag football or tackle football with my friends. I didn't know it was going to be the last time I played tackle football. Last time I went skiing. I didn't know it would be the last time I go skiing for 14 years or whatever it is. We don't know. It's vanity. I think, too, you don't know the best times of your life when you're living them. You don't know the things that we... I have this memory of being, I think it was a sophomore in high school, so I couldn't drive. I think it was around February because there was snow on the ground, but it was somehow mild. I had friends over in high school. We were playing N64 or Super Nintendo or something. And we had a bunch of friends over my house and we were sleeping over. One kid fell asleep and it was 2 a.m. And we said, let's go to McDonald's and get a bunch of cheeseburgers and fries. So we like rode our bikes down to McDonald's like 2 miles away, went to the drive-thru, loaded up with bags of food and tried to ride home with them and came back. And sat up all night and played video. I'm not recommending do this, but the point of the story is we stayed up all night, played video games and had cheeseburgers. I didn't know I was making a lifelong memory that night, but I look back on that night fondly. And it was a lot of fun. It was one of the funnest nights of that year, I guess. Now, would I want to do that today? No, I got no, maybe I have a desire to eat 10 cheeseburgers, but I can't eat 10 cheeseburgers like I used to be able to eat them. I can't stay up all night like I could back then. It'd be miserable to stay up all night. But the thing is, when we're not rejoicing in every day, when we're not taking advantage of those opportunities in front of us, that's where those regrets are come in. That's where we miss out. Oh, man, I wish I spent more time with that person. My friend Tony loved IndyCar and loved a different version of a game. I wish I watched IndyCar with him once. Or listen more about his IndyCar desire. You know, you don't know. And that's why we need to rejoice in them. Because it's vanity. We think we've got it figured out. We don't have it figured out. You think the best times are ahead of you. Your best times in life might be behind you. To be honest. You might be old and decrepit, and there's no more choices. And the best times are all behind you, and you missed out on all the fun because you were so worried or so caught up. And the Bible doesn't want that for us. Why? Because God doesn't want that for us. Because God wants you to enjoy life. That doesn't mean to sin. That doesn't mean to do it without Him. But that when we're following God and trusting God, we're going to enjoy life to the fullest. You're going to go places that you never thought. You're going to have opportunities you never thought. Things that you thought were curses are going to be blessings. And things that the world would think is a blessing, you're going to see as a curse. And your life is going to be better for it. Whether you win or lose in the world's eyes, if you're following the Lord, it's going to be better for it. The opportunities before you, you're going to take full advantage of and be a good steward of your time and of all that God's given you. So that being said, we need to rejoice in it. We need to remember that, hey, even at the end of the day, this life will be over and we'll be in heaven forever. And that's, I'm finding that to be a more wonderful thought with each day. The more I think about it, the more I think about Jesus coming back, the more I think about how real heaven is. I'm like, yeah, this is vanity. This is emptiness. But that'll be fullness and fullness of joy. So God, thank you for your word and your grace. And for those listening here and online, I pray, God, you'd bless each of them. Let each of us take advantage of every moment and opportunity to give us, not in our flesh, but by your Spirit. Help us to spend that time with you first thing in the morning, that you might guide our steps. And that way, when those opportunities come, we would see them and we would take them and we would have joy in them to leave the stress behind, not to be irresponsible, but to know that you've got it sorted out. We love you, God, and trust you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, beloved, may God bless you and keep you and His face shine upon you.
There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind, and all we drink first light until the door.